Golden State's going to wait, see how it goes with Bradley Beal. But short of Bradley Beal being available, I expect Golden State to draft their, use those picks at 7-14 this week.
They're sitting down with their coffees and discussing sports like gentlemen.
A gentleman.
They're Murph and Mac. Hear them now on your smart speaker by saying play KNBR.
All right, back in business on the Murph and Mac Show. Hey, listen, Murph is out this week, cooling his heels, a little vacation time, catching his breath. Good for him. In the meantime, Adam Copeland, I'm in the very capable company of Adam Copeland. He's in for Murph all week long. A lot of Giant talk today, understandably. Lamont Wade out there just dazzling the crowd yesterday. Beautiful kind of sun-splashed afternoon. The return of Dwayne Kuiper. The vibes couldn't have been better out there at Oracle Park yesterday.
Well, Paulie, I needed the vibes after I watched France beat down the United States.
That's what I'm saying.
Team, you know, I'm
still trying to piece it together. I'm trying to make sense of this whole thing going on in the Olympics. But meanwhile, Copes, the Warriors are getting ready to draft, too. They got a lot going on now in Dub Nation, if I could. So let's do it like this. Let's bring in Kendra Andrews. She's with NBC Sports Bay Area, of course, and she also is a host on the Dub Talk podcast with Grant Lithman. So we are happy to bring her on the air at the Murph and Mac Show with Adam Copeland today, Kendra. But welcome aboard, and nice to have you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're good. Now, you and Copes know each other already, right?
We've done a couple of hits together. Yeah, we talked basketball, and we were like, hey, we're talking draft. Kendra Andrews all over who the Warriors should take at number 14. And that's more in the weeds than I think Paulie and I have gotten at all, Kendra. So
no.
you're here to brush us up a little bit. And also this weekend, there was some news. We came in with some sound from Adrian Wojnarowski. They're talking about how the Warriors may trade these picks. And if they do, it could be for Bradley Beal. There were articles about this, but there are still questions about whether or not they're going to make these selections, and if they do, who they're going to pick. So on Monday, 3 days before the draft, or 4 days before the draft, now Thursday night, where are the Warriors with making these selections? And if you had to guess, are they more likely to keep them or more likely to trade them?
Well, I think one of the big questions that first needs to be answered, and it can only be answered by one man, Bradley Beal himself, is he even going to be available, right? Because there are so many conversations happening about how the Warriors and other teams would like to make packages to trade for Bradley Beal. But you have to remember, he hasn't even officially become available yet.
Right
now, he is still fully a member of the Washington Wizards. And, you know, if Bradley Beal decides to, you know, test the market and go out there, I think the Warriors would definitely be interested in obtaining him. They'd try and figure out a package that would probably include both of those picks at 7-14. Plus, you're going to have to throw in a guy such as Andrew Wiggins into that package just because he's the only guy with a contract that would be comparable to the types of players the Warriors are looking to get. So if Bradley Beal is available, yes, that is one star that they would definitely go after. But if he isn't, in the next 3 days when the draft is here, then they were definitely going to have to use them. The question is, are they going to draft someone who they feel could be a future trade asset in case Bradley Beal does become available at the trade deadline in the spring if someone else becomes available? Or is it going to be for someone they see can have an impact on their team? So they're definitely in an interesting position, and a lot of different things could happen in the next 3 days to kind of pull them in different directions.
Kendra, if you could, you know, the one thing about Bradley Beal that I'm trying to wrap my head around is, let's just say hypothetically it happens. Let's say he becomes a Warrior and Wiggins goes, or whatever the price is. Let's just say he becomes a Golden State Warrior. My question is, how do you see him kind of fitting into the Steve Kerr system, or maybe the system changes dramatically? I don't know, but they've got the scoring already with Steph and Clay coming back. Hopefully Clay's going to be able to contribute there. You know, Draymond Green's a Swiss Army knife. He can do whatever Steve Kerr needs him to do. So what kind of role would Beal have with these guys? Like, and I assume he's a starter. So like, how would he fit in is what I'm asking.
Yeah, well, it's a good question. And I think one thing that the Warriors would try and bring out of him more is his playmaking. I think he's an underrated playmaker, and the lack of playmaking, or just not having as many guys who are able to facilitate and make plays, is something the Warriors desperately needed last season. And that is something that they would try and get Bradley Beal to do more of. But he's also just a quick player that would fit in with the type of movement that the Warriors really emphasize in their offensive system. You know, it's all about moving without the ball, trying to find the most open person to put up a shot. And Bradley Beal would fit in in that area. And as far as just veteran players too, you know, the Warriors are such a young team right now. They're just looking for guys who have been around the league for quite some time.
Right.
And Bradley Beal definitely fits that bill. You know, and he definitely would fill in for that starter position, especially if you're giving up Andrew Wiggins. He would fill in for Wiggins at that spot. And you also have to remember, Klay Thompson, yes, is going to be coming back, but we have no idea when he is actually going to be coming back. It's probably not going to be by opening night. It's more likely going to be, you know, sometime in December, maybe even January. So until he gets back, they need to find someone to make up for what they lose in Klay Thompson. And while that can't be replaced, Bradley Beal can definitely help cushion that until Klay Thompson returns.
Yeah, he's not the defender that Klay is, but he's certainly the scorer that Klay Thompson can be. Bradley Beal's a really good offensive weapon, as you said, can move the floor pretty well. We're talking to Kendra Andrews, of course, covers the Warriors for NBC Sports Bay Area. You can hear her on Dubs Talk with Grant Liffman as well. I wanted to ask you about, we hear these reports all the time, and I saw this one last week, that Draymond, Steph, and Klay would prefer the Warriors to use the draft, would prefer them to use the draft picks in a trade rather than making the selection. And then I look at Team USA Basketball. Draymond, who is frequently been in the draft room the last couple of years, obviously in Tokyo competing with Team USA, the Warriors head coach Steve Kerr in what's one of the biggest drafts in a long time. I know we'd say since last year, but really in this Warrior era that they've had a championship window open, this is as big of a draft as last year just based on how they spend these picks. He won't be in the building. What kind of impact is this going to make, and how reliant on the sources that say, yes, Steph Curry and Draymond and Klay want to make a trade rather than make these selections with a draft pick? How much weight do you put into that, and what's the impact of Draymond and Kerr not being around?
Yeah, right. It's funny. I actually hadn't thought about Steve Kerr also not being here. I definitely thought about the Draymond not being here, and with the time difference in Tokyo, it's going to make it pretty hard for them to Zoom conference for the draft. It's hard enough to watch these games at 5 in the morning, but it's a good point. When guys like Steph, Klay, and Draymond say they want something, of course that's going to carry some sort of weight in the front office amongst, you know, Bob Myers and Kurt Lakeup and the guys making these decisions, because this is their team. This is Steph, Klay, and Draymond's team. And what the Warriors are doing right now, one of the reasons why this is such an important offseason, as you guys mentioned, is because they're trying to take advantage of what Steph, Klay, and Draymond have left. Draymond and Steph obviously proved that they have some gas left in the tank last season, so they're really trying to optimize all of that. That being said, you know, they're not the biggest decision makers. If Bob Myers sees a better option out there, he's probably going to take it. I mentioned before, if there's no package that they like, if there's no trade deal that would actually help them, then they're not going to force something just to please Steph, Klay, and Draymond, because what's going to please them most is winning another championship. And if what's on the table, you know, isn't going to do that for them, then Bob Myers isn't going to hesitate to go a different route. But as I said before, you know, even if they do use their picks now, what's to say that a trade won't come up at the trade deadline, when frankly, that's when a lot more of these bigger free agents become available. That's when a lot of the bigger trades happen. Is at that trade deadline in the spring. So they're going to take it into consideration, but not going to force anything if that's not the best option there for them.
Talking to Kendra Andrews with NBC Sports Bay Area Dub Talk podcast. Last thing for you, Kendra, before we let you go, is the piece you wrote. You wrote a piece about an Australian kid, an 18-year-old point guard at a Melbourne, Australia, 6'8", 205 pounds. His name is Josh Giddey, and you talked about the possibility this could be the pick at 14. And obviously, a lot of Warrior fans don't know much about this kid. I'm wondering just kind of if you could inform us about Giddey and why he might be the right pick, or at least an appealing choice for the Golden State Warriors.
Absolutely. Well, the thing with Josh Giddey is that he's a guy who does need development. You know, once you get into the 14 pick, there maybe not be as many guys who are considered fully NBA ready, but he is a guy that would fit in really, really well with the Warriors. He doesn't play like a teenager. He's only 18, doesn't turn 19 until October, but he has great court vision. He understands the court very well. He remains calm under, you know, pressure. He's just the type of guy who, when you put him off coming off the bench with a guy like Jordan Poole, who Steve Kerr doesn't want handling the ball as much. You say, okay, Jordan Poole, you go out there and shoot the lights out. Josh Giddey, you're going to facilitate and set up a lot of these plays. So it could be a nice complementary backcourt coming off the bench, which, again, I mentioned before that last season the Warriors didn't have as much playmaking outside of Steph and Draymond as they wanted to. They wanted Brad Wanamaker to be that guy, but he wasn't able to do that. You know, they found a little bit of that from a number of different guys coming off the bench, but he's someone who that could be his role and just provide that for the Warriors. And real quick, I want to mention with that, having that kind of one skill set that would help the Warriors now, when we talk about guys having an impact immediately on the NBA for the Warriors, that's the kind of thing that they're going to be looking for. It's not a guy who's going to be inserted in the starting lineup and just take over games because they have Steph Curry. They don't need anyone to do that. It's just a guy who can come off the bench and play really solid minutes,
right,
not be a liability,
yeah,
and just say, help us out in this one specific area, whether that's rebounding, facilitating, defending, make an impact as small as it may be and just help us win. And Josh Giddey is the kind of guy who can do that.
Well said, Kendrick.
Yeah, great breakdown.
Yeah, yeah, and nice having you on the show. We'll definitely be calling you again either before the draft or after the draft so we can kind of talk about everything that went down. But nice having you on board today, Kendrick, and we'll catch up again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, take care. Kendrick Andrews, everybody, NBC Sports Bay Area, and, of course, a Dub Talk podcast with Grant Lithman, our other buddy, Grant Lithman.
What she's talking about is getting a guy who's like a 3-and-D guy, right? She's saying, like, if you're gonna use that pick, I've seen, you know, potentially they could use number 7 on Jonathan Kuminga, who could be a nice guy, a nice weapon off the bench, and then maybe move number 14. I was looking at this list. Shams Charania reported yesterday or earlier this weekend that the Warriors brought in 4 players, Chris Duarte, Trey Murphy, Moses Moody, and Davion Mitchell. Now, Mitchell and Moody would be guys they'd have to probably take at number 7, but Chris Duarte and Trey Murphy are guys they could potentially take around number 14. I just hearing the word or the name Trey Murphy sort of sets chills up. Troy Murphy.
Get the Trey Murphy.
I start thinking, Troy Murphy, man. Big power forward knocking down threes, dude.
Well, that goes back to the era where the Golden State Warriors would not even make our top 6. We'd be like, we better leave them out. We don't want to upset our audience.
Trey Murphy to get themselves, I think it was Murphy and Dunleavy went to the Pacers, I believe, in exchange.
That sounds right.
For Al Harrington and Stack Jack.
There you go. The cornerstones. And, you know, I just kind of want to get back, if it's possible, to not that long ago, but a few seasons ago, where it felt like anybody the Warriors brought in suddenly had that magic dust on them. Like, they were getting the very best out of whoever came into the system, whether it was a Barbosa, a Livingston, Iguodala, who's obviously huge, JaVale McGee. Like, the Warriors got the best out of JaVale McGee. So
there are certainly more players that worked out than didn't.
Yes.
But if you were going to...
They're due.
But if you were going to name players that didn't, where would you start? Would you start with Jacob Evans?
I guess you would have to say
Varejão,
the kid out of OU. I'm forgetting his name already. The draft pick, Jordan Bell, was a disappointment.
Bell ended up not being fantastic.
I think the hope was he would become like a new Draymond Green. I got to say, I was kind of disappointed. And I know it's a draft pick.
Didn't they get him back last year? Didn't they have him at the end of this season? Did they sign Jordan Bell?
Yeah. Yes.
He's buying candles and stuff.
Yeah. Also, you know, and I hope this turns, but I was kind of disappointed with Pascal last year. Like, where, and again, I know it's a draft pick, it's not a trade.
What's funny is they didn't tell us Pascal was going to take a step back, but I remember, like, everybody was so excited because
he was
a second rounder and he was out there scoring a bunch, and they were they were a 15-win team. And so you look at that and you go, wow, he's a big bright spot on a 15-win team.
Exactly.
Jordan Poole far exceeded the growth over one season. Pascal played himself out of the rotation, but also I felt like at the beginning of the year, they kind of told us, not that he wasn't going to be the same guy, but that the system is going to be far different with Steph Curry and Draymond on the floor, that Pascal's not going to get the same types of looks that he got before, that a bad team where he was kind of the big fish in a small pond.
His minutes were very reduced, dramatically reduced by the end of the year. There were games he wouldn't even get on the floor.
I mean, then we can talk Festus. I mean, we can talk all sorts of...
boy.
There is a handful of players who they've hit that we thought Jordan Poole was a total swing and miss, and he's ended up being a real nice asset.
What a great surprise he's been. Anyway, Copes, I wish we were running out of time, so let's go to break, and then I feel like we got to do a little more Giants before we leave.
Yeah, that's fine.
What else am I forgetting? Text lines? There's too much going on today, Marcus. You can see my problem in here. I'm overwhelmed with content, which is a good problem to have. So let's get to a break, and then we'll come back on the other side. We'll wrap it up. We'll get you ready for Jumpin' Johnny Lund and Greg Papa on KMBR 680, the Sports Leader.
This is Murph and Mac. Hear it on the TuneIn app through your smartphone. We are KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.